The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Something big is happening at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Take up to $15,000 off all remaining 2018 Cadillacs. It's all going on now during the Big Win Sales event. You can't miss up to $15,000 off new Cadillacs. Just ask for General Manager Brian Danahy, our good friend here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, and he'll take up to $15,000 off your next Cadillac. All the details are at the dealership. Get to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa just west of 275 on Fletcher or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. That's edmorsecadillactampa.com. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, pick your car, now pick your payment. That's right, pick your car, now pick your payment. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website. You will see all kinds of incredible options there. They are right there on Causeway Boulevard for you in Brandon. So easy to get to. Beautiful dealership. Ira and I have been out there several times, and all new 2018 Cadillacs get 0% financing for up to 60 months, plus receive $2,000 down payment assistance at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. That's where you get it started, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast starring the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper, the other Joe, is here, and we are fired up. One Buck Palace is where we are, 12 short days from the start of the regular season. Ira is adorned in his navy, his serious Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse.
I don't wear the navy edition very often, Steve, but today, you know what? I got a big corporate announcement. I figure I got to show up. And I got a new sports coat. A new sports coat. And no, I didn't wear it on Daytona Beach. I didn't wear it into the surf. I've replaced the glasses. I got plenty of hats. Thanks to you. We're ready to go.
All right, Sage. Yes, look at that. The Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon Polo. The beautiful, beautiful navy blue. Sage, we heard all about the great stuff at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon this month, so we're always appreciative of them. And we got a lot to get to in this podcast, very much to get to. We want to thank everybody who continues to listen on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. On some of those platforms, you can leave a review. Please do that. Some better ones have been flowing in, Ira. You like that? And we like to keep the numbers going, keep your streak alive on the top 50 in the nation, all genres podcasts at Google Play.
Except for that one stupid week, Steve, that remains unexplained.
The 10-day mystery window.
10-day mystery window. I don't know what happened, Lee. Maybe we didn't have a... You know what? You can't say we didn't have a podcast because we haven't missed a week. No. Not one darn week. Let me say right off the bat, Mr. DeKemper, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, look, through three preseason games and our thousands of listeners and readers, I can just see them, you know, going crazy here. But let me say it. Things couldn't have gone much better. I mean, yeah, you want to win that last game, but it was 20-6 at the half. The Bucks dominated. The players that count dominated. Do we care that much that the fifth string safety missed a tackle in the final minute against the Lions? No, as one of the most important people in this organization told me after the game when I said, "That's a win." And he said, "Yeah, and that's a win.
I saw who you were talking
that's
to.
That's right.
And oddly enough, when I was leaving the locker room 20 minutes later, Jenna Lane had the same person cornered.
There you go. And may I say, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul showed me something after the game because Thomas Bassinger from the Tampa Bay Times came walking by and had his tape recorder and took three steps toward Jason Pierre-Paul, and I witnessed this, and Pierre-Paul said, "I'm not talking."
Oh, really?
Really mean and upset. I turned around about 2 minutes later. Pierre-Paul was dressed and walking out with a surly attitude. He was pissed off that they lost that game. And you know what? That's not a bad thing, Lee. Now, here's the part that Buck fans aren't going to want to hear. Guys, with 12 days left before things really start counting in the Big Easy, all's well on the injury front. All's well, relatively speaking.
What?
Mr. DeKemper. Look at these two. I can't even get a word in over here. They don't have anybody that they're not sure isn't going to be ready for week one. That is remarkable.
You're telling me they're thinking about Donovan Smith's going to be ready?
That is remarkable, Mr. DeKemper.
if you've been told that, it smells like you're getting used.
You want to see Mike Lidke against Cameron Jordan, or you want to see Donovan Smith?
Well, of course not. I want to see Mike Lidke against Donovan Jordan. But you know what? Mike Lidke, he didn't do so bad against Ziggy Ansah, and that leads me to something that Steve and I were talking about.
By the way, Izbits is just chomping at the bit. I could see that at a corner. Oh, yeah. I got good peripheral vision.
Well, wait, doesn't even need to take notes. He's ready to go.
He may interrupt you in a minute.
Well, here's one for you. Did not Dirk Koetter say over the weekend their top six of their top eight tackles are down?
Down what? I mean, we're not talking about knee surgery over here.
No, but they can't get any work in, and it's doubtful they're going to be ready to play in New Orleans.
Look what's going on around the league, Izbits, before you try to jump in over here.
Well, wait a minute. Am I the only lunatic in town? Am I the only nut job in town who thinks that the number one draft pick, a guy who you expect to come in and compete and to be a Pro Bowler within 3 years, not being ready for opening day is a loss?
That's your biggest story of the preseason, is that Vita Vea might miss one game? That's your big story?
Well, you're crying over
your milk over here and your cookies and your Rice Krispies?
Oh, come on, Ira. I think you're understating some of the injury challenges.
They got no holdouts. They got no injuries. Well, what's going on?
Injuries.
They got no injuries.
Kendall Beckwith hasn't practiced yet. Vita Vea missed virtually all of
training. You're talking about some guy with a car accident in April or something.
Your franchise left tackle is out for the foreseeable future.
What are you going to throw in? Winston suspension?
No, but I'll
with all your whining over there?
Well, I got to be fair. At least Donovan Smith is driving and singing again.
They have not ruled Donovan Smith out of the New Orleans game. Well, Correct me if I'm wrong.
Who have they ruled out?
Has not been ruled out. Vita Vea has not been ruled out.
Ira, this is the time of year where no team, quote-unquote, rules anybody out.
You rule somebody out if you put them on the pup list and just had knee surgery.
All right, over the league.
Let me
explain this for our listeners. We don't do a lot of prep for this podcast, and you literally surprised me and Lee with your pronouncement.
That's the way it should be.
So, okay.
True.
So we're not going to – that's your take, Sage. This is your podcast. But I have a question for you. Are you sure that that's why JPP was annoyed?
No, and
I mean that seriously.
No, I'm not positive. Maybe something happened during the course of the game. But I know that the leadership that he's shown since the day he walked into this organization, he's taken losses hard. It's the first loss of the preseason. He wanted to be 3-0 in the preseason. Good for JPP. But like Steve says, until we talk to him, and maybe he'll talk this week, I'm not sure what peeved him, but I'm thinking it's the loss.
Well, what's interesting is Koetter, in recent history, last few days, has said that, you know, when JPP called him up, said, I'm not coming in for OTAs, but I will be there for mandatory minicamp, but I'll be ready. And Koetter was like, I don't know. And Koetter said he's been more than surprised at how JPP has turned out.
Might be a personal thing with Bassinger. You never know, Steve. No, I'm kidding. I don't think it was because he left in a hurry.
I'm not talking, huh?
He left in a hurry. Woo!
I don't know what to make of it, but like you said, we'll get a chance to ask.
The other guys that I talked to, and Lee was in there talking to other guys too, I didn't get the same feeling. Now, look, you want to win. You want to be 3-0. You want to guarantee your first winning preseason since 08, Chucky's last year in Pewter. But at the same time, the Levante Davids of the world, when I talked to him, said, you know, very happy with that first half, very happy with our regulars. I thought we did a very good job. And they've done that for 3 weeks in a row, Steve. Now, game four means nothing. We won't be able to determine anything at a Thursday night's game other than maybe the final three or four roster spots. But, Steve, so far through three games, I don't think Buck fans could have asked for much more.
I got something for Ira here, and I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast. I know neither of you two went to Miami. I was down there. And even though they won the game, you know, similar to the Lions game, it was close at the end, late, they won it. They came off the field, and their demeanor in the locker room, if you didn't know any better, you would have thought they lost. It was kind of like, okay, we won. We got to get back to Tampa. We got work to do. It was odd demeanor, odd vibe in the locker room. Do you sense, Ira, that the whole team has had just a different attitude toward training camp that finished last week?
The word I hear the most is focused. That's what I hear. Look, we talked to Munkin last week. He confirmed what we all thought. They didn't handle the hype last year. I mean, how many times does Munkin have to say this? We chose to suck. We this. I want Munkin every day.
Oh,
I'm asking for Munkin every day. I'm not getting him every day, but we are getting him once a week.
You already got in trouble this morning.
Yeah.
Munkin is as candid as it gets.
Oh, right? I love it. And I wrote in one of my stories about Munkin that the reasons we love Munkin so much is the reason he causes Bucks, the organization, sleepless nights. because there's no filter.
You know, to answer Lee's question more directly, Steve, tell me if you've picked up on this. You have to develop as a team a hatred for losing that is even more intense than your thrill of victory.
Distasteful.
And that's what you hear for winning organizations. Can't stand to lose. Yeah, you celebrate wins. You don't get too high, but the losses kill you. And we haven't seen enough of that around here. And I'm not talking about a guy throwing his helmet or shoulder pads in the room. But, you know, we haven't noticed that, you know, orneriness after losses. Maybe they're beaten down because there's been so many of them around here in the last decade. I call it the lost decade, Steve. Throw that out there in every column. The lost decade.
Yeah.
And it's hard to argue against.
You know who used to be? I mean, and I'm sure you saw this when I say my name. I'm sure you'll agree with this. But the one guy, the minute he got off the field in that tunnel, was just spewing profanities and screaming it. Donald Penn. You ever notice that when Donald Penn came up? He was, to use your word, ornery. Just spewing profanities, throwing his helmet, blankety-blank this, blankety-blank that, because they lost.
When I asked Evan Smith, Steve, about the vibe on this team, I'll let you speak, Steve.
I'm in no hurry, Ira.
You know what he said? We're the kind of team that you never see coming, the team that nobody talks about. It's a stark contrast from last summer, Steve.
I'd rather be the team that everybody sees coming, because that means you're doing a lot of great things. But I get what you're saying, Ira. But I got to throw this to you because I don't get it. Right? You're telling me you need to have higher standards and players need to not accept losing. They go to Tennessee, they lose. The starters lost 7-3. You're making it out like this is the greatest preseason known to man. You know, we can't read too much either direction. Jameis going wild against, you know, guys who aren't always going to be the starters. You know, who was covering DeSean Jackson on that big bomb that he hit in Tennessee? Do you know who was covering him? It wasn't a starter. But the point is that there's good, there's bad, whatever. I just can't go too crazy. I'm very happy that they won 20-6 on Friday night against the Lions. And they played till the final second with that Humphreys incredible play. You know, you can easily loaf that thing. Nobody loafed. That's what's positive to me. But I think there's a lot more to see. And you know what? You can say this is the greatest preseason ever, but we haven't seen Vea. And the number two guy picked isn't ready for prime time.
Nobody's going crazy, Steve. Nobody's going crazy. But I think it's gone well through three games. Lee, I don't think Buck fans can complain about what they're seeing.
No, I don't think they complain, but there's a lot of question marks. And, you know, the offensive line, riddled with injuries. Vea can't practice. Ronald Jones, who knows?
How come the line hasn't had any problems opening up holes for Peyton Barber, Lee?
I said that last year, and, you know, people were screaming about the offensive line. I'm like, well, if you think the offensive line's the problem, then you tell me why they're laying down for Doug Martin. But here's something. You brought this up earlier. I'm going to piggyback onto this. You know, you mentioned JPP, and you also mentioned how, you know, Steve mentioned how they didn't give up that pick, the kick six. Who was the lead blocker the last 20 yards or so? JPP.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
Steve, I'm still mad at you from last week when we picked our fantasy league because fifth, sixth round, seventh round, whatever it was. I was there. I had my magazine. I was all set. I was two picks away from going to the microphone. And here comes his bits. My own guy. My boss. You know, supposed to help me. And he goes, I'll take Peyton Barber, please. Oh, man, I had to get back into that magazine. I didn't have my glasses. I couldn't even read the type. It was so small. I had to stand under the light.
Oh, you should have told me. I got you.
I had to go up to the chart, stay a foot away from the chart so I could read the chart. And I don't know what the heck I came up with. I think I took a kicker at that point. I was so disgusted. How can you take Peyton Barber right away from me like that, Steve?
Well, let me just set the stage a little bit for people because this is just classic sage, and it's one reason why you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Now, this is the Joe Bucks Fan Fantasy
League. Get those waitresses out of the story over there.
So we had a couple of drafts going on at once. No problem, Ira. And you and I are playing in the same league. That was my surprise for you. So we will get to go head-to-head at one point this the fall, which is fantastic. But these are seasoned fantasy players who are in this league. This isn't just, you know, Joe Bag of Donuts league. And the draft is going on, and somehow the sage of Tampa Bay sports, picking, I think you were like the seventh pick in the draft. Draft.
I was the first guy in the, I got to pick where I wanted to go. I won that lottery, and I took number six.
Okay, so you're drafting sixth in the draft, and somehow, some way, which probably happens only in two out of 100 fantasy drafts across the nation. You walk out of the first two rounds with who?
D'Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette.
There you go. So that, I mean, props to you, Ira, for pulling that off. And you had some interesting picks after that, but way to go.
I also took Dez Bryant, gentlemen, so it's all relative, Steve. And I look forward to playing you in week 11.
It's a 15-round draft. A
couple things about that draft. First off, I want to thank the fans that came out. One guy, him and his father, came from Ocala, and he had the line of the night.
The line of the night.
He obviously is addicted to this podcast, the Ira Kaufman podcast, and he says he shovels
Horse manure.
Yeah, he shovels manure while he's listening to your podcast.
So it seems to fit. It seems what apropos.
And I'm trying to remember the line specifically. It's like, if you have to shovel shit, this is the podcast for you or something like that.
Are we taking that as a compliment, Stephen? I got to ask you. I mean, it was a hell of a line.
And there was another gentleman. He was sitting next to me, and I forgot his name. I apologize. And he asked me about the Bengals safety that was cut. It starts with an E.
Aloka. Georgia.
Yeah. And I, for some reason, mixed him up with the cornerback the Bucs picked off the trash heap from the Saints. And I'm like, well, he hasn't stood out in practice. Hell, I guess not. He's not even on the roster.
Aloka is now with the Vikings, where he joins a very formidable defense.
And here's the last story about the draft. This is Ira. You were looking forward to a lass by the name of Brooke. It was supposed to be there. I guess she's a calendar girl. She either wasn't there or wouldn't have anything to do with you.
It was touted that she was coming. You know,
Hooters being Hooters, there was an attractive young lady that was waiting on our tables, and you were speaking with her briefly, and you kept going back to Brooke, and finally she says, she looks at you, and she goes, my name's not Brooke.
I know, but by the end of the night, I said, hey, I've only got one thing to say to you. She goes, what? I go, Brooke who? She liked that. See? Class at the end. Class tells it.
You're a class guy. Let's.
Let me say, Ispitz picked up my tab. Ispitz picked up my tab. Very nice.
All right, Sage. Now, a couple of things. Before we talk about the Bourbon Street Takeover at fanretreat.com, I want to go to Gerald McCoy. He's one thing to be very happy about in this preseason. If you extrapolate his numbers over how much he played a game. Guy had 2 sacks, 5 tackles. That's like, you know, he had an incredible.
What are you, Pro Football Focus all of a sudden?
No, I'm saying we're taught, look, you're so happy about the preseason. I'm going to pick a couple of guys to be happy about. We're on a positive vibe here. One thing Tony Dungy, who was on with Mike Florio, the PFTPM podcast, Dungy was very adamant. Now, remember how we talk about how, hey, you know, McCoy needs help and these guys are going to, you know, clean up on McCoy. Dungy was very adamant on that podcast saying, you know what? This help around McCoy is going to let Gerald make a lot more plays this year. And he was talking like McCoy's the guy who's going to break through as the 10-sack guy and whatnot. What's your thoughts now?
I think he's got a great point. And by the way, there's more Dungy stuff that we can talk about later when he's talking about Fitzpatrick and Winston, which is interesting. But Lee, would anybody be surprised if McCoy has a career year this season? He hasn't been crying the blues about his lack of support, but we've noticed it, you know, ever since he came aboard in 2010. He had Michael Bennett for a year or two. Other than that, not a lot of help.
No.
Not a lot of help. You got the Will Golstons of the world. You know, you got Akeem Spence. You know, it hasn't been much. It just hasn't been.
Roy Miller.
Noah Spence the first 2 seasons. And by the way, I didn't see Spence in the first half the other night. Maybe I missed something. Where was he?
There's a lot of people wondering, where was he? He was invisible.
Now, Steve mentioned in my column, he likes to dabble in my column and add a couple of things, and he did. And said they got a big injection of Noah Spence in the second half.
Yes.
I'm not sure that knocks down my main point, which is, where's Noah Spence, you know, against the first team offense? Can I see him? Vinny Curry doesn't have a lot to prove. I want to see Noah Spence. I didn't see it.
Ira, we talked last podcast. Brenson Buckner was down on the mental game of Noah Spence. And no surprise that he's just down on the depth chart. Doesn't mean he won't contribute or get a shot. But will he get the reps needed to evolve quickly? Who knows?
Isn't he supposed to be the designated third down pass rusher?
No.
What do you mean no? Where'd that no come from?
In theory, yeah, but in practicality, no.
Who said that? You did.
Thought they're trying to develop him.
Cutter even said that at the owners' meetings. I remember it vividly.
Aren't they supposed to develop this kid? He's a second round pick, Steven. Are you giving up on him?
Well, you got to have some role for him. So, you know, when you don't think a guy can play on first and second down, you call him a designated pass rusher. But it doesn't mean that he's good at it.
Don't you move JPP to the left side, put him in the right side, put Curry inside? Well, what's the problem, Haley?
That's what Cutter said at the owners' meetings, but that doesn't look like it's the plan right now. So, now, first off, there's a couple of people are commenters.
Isbett's got him behind Will Golston as a pass rusher. Well, what's going on around there?
There's a couple of people on JoeBucksFan.com that think he's going to be cut. He's not going to be cut. I mean, part of the reason Buckner's here is to work with Nova Spence.
Let's put that to bed. He's not going to be cut.
But it's interesting that, as you said, you wanted to see him go up against first and second teamers, and he did not against the Lions. So.
You're going to play him Thursday with the scrubs?
Yes.
You have to. Because he didn't. Yeah, I agree with Steve. Yes. Start him. Yes. Emphatic.
So what's he going to prove against Jacksonville's third-string tackle?
He needs the work. The coach is just talking about the guy needs the mental game. If you're playing against scrubs, show up and dominate.
He ain't a rookie anymore. This is year three. You're giving him way too much leeway over here.
I'm not giving him any leeway.
He should be a stud. He should be ready to go. He's healthy.
Well, he should be, but I should come home to a Bucks cheerleader, too.
Now, that's a stretch, and you're not, and you're not healthy. Continue, Steven.
I'm not giving him any leeway. And let me tell you this. I don't think you've seen JPP on the left side all camp. All preseason.
Know what? He played left side for the Giants quite a bit.
I agree with you. He played there mostly, but Brenson Buckner's got him on the right end.
He does.
And he's obviously comfortable and happy there.
I don't trust Spence off the left end.
Vinnie Curry played a lot of right end in Philly. He's Mr. Left End.
So
Buckner has his own mindset, and Buckner was the guy who told me that it was his idea to have JPP working so much inside because he always imagined JPP as an inside rusher. So we don't know what the heck's going on. We do know that Noah Spence is on the outside looking in right now. Playing time says it all.
He's literally on the outside. Yeah, looking
in. And doesn't mean he won't get some snaps. Doesn't mean he won't get a shot. And you know what? If you get your shot and you shine, you play some more.
Anyway, I can't argue with your main point, Steve. McCoy's poised to have a big season.
All right. I'm glad you like that, Sage. I'm excited for McCoy. This could be it. This is his Hall of Fame teetering year. You know what? If he goes out and has 12 sacks and his first team All-Pro again.
And the Bucks do well.
Seven straight Pro Bowls. Well, you know, at the end of the day.
That helps, Steve. It helps.
Yeah, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. I hate to break it to everybody.
Do you know how many wrecks you just caused using McCoy and Hall of Fame in the same sentence?
Well.
And I'm not arguing with you, but you know how the McCoy haters are.
Hey, you get in the conversation if you have seven consecutive Pro Bowls. So the conversation is where it starts. So you're the sage. You know this stuff. All right, Ira. Right now, everybody has to go to fanretreat.com. Click on Popular Retreats. You'll see a choice there is Bourbon Street Takeover. It gives all the details for the road trip of the season. Now, they're all there. All the details. And you can always email fanretreat. Even the boss, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fanretreat.com. If you have any real detailed questions. But there's a whole package there for the road trip of the season. Out to New Orleans. You can get game tickets, flights.
I'm booked. I'm ready to go, baby.
The hotel and the party the night before at Manning Sports Bar where I was working on a speech and Justin Pulaski will be out there and the stick carriers.
And DeKemper's coming 4 days early to go to the gumbo shop all 4 days.
And Lee might have a two-sentence speech I heard through the grapevine. Oh. Lee might have an address for the good people.
And it might be a surprise guest or two.
You love saying
that. I love that because you're working on it, Steve. I know you are.
FanRetreat.com, though. You can get all your event tickets there. Bucks games, Rays games. People want to go into Rays games now again.
Lightning games this fall.
Lightning games. All your tickets. They serve as a secondary outlet, just like all these other big names. FanRetreat.com is right there. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code for any tickets. And Bucks tickets for opening day. They're all there right now. FanRetreat.com. Get to the Bourbon Street Takeover. That event the night before at Manning Sports Bar in New Orleans, that's free. You know, it's just in a sports bar. Give me a nice setup. They've got some great giveaways, fan retreat. So get out there.
I got to come up with stories, Lee, I haven't mentioned on this podcast. Not easy, but I got a couple.
You
have to regale us, and this is what I want to hear. You have to regale us of the time where Sean Payton had Bucks and Chucky beat. And Sean Payton decided to get greedy.
Oh, I remember that.
He had a reverse pass, and it was fumbled, if I remember right.
Yes, it was fumbled.
And the Bucks stole a win. You got to regale us with those.
Absolutely.
And now, here's a question, but I want your reaction to this, because you're the sage. Over the weekend, Dirk Cutter was asked about Chris Conte. And he's like, you know, a lot of fans can't stand him. They can't wait for the day he's run out of town. They'd be happy to drive him out of town and hire the U-Haul vans themselves. And Cutter said, and I quote, he's better than you think.
I saw that.
Your response.
Well, to me, Conte probably is the best symbol on this roster, Lee, of the Raheem Morris. And I go back further because I think Raheem got it from Mike Tomlin, who was Raheem's mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and you've used this quote many times, I'll tolerate you till I can replace you.
I love that.
And I think Conte's the perfect example of that. He's not a bad player, at least in the eyes of the guys that count in this organization. He's made some big plays for this organization. That pick in Kansas City,
yes,
was one of the big plays of that 9-7 season and kept that streak going. But he also gets beat. He's out of position sometimes. Fans are looking for somebody to pick on beyond Gerald McCoy.
Yeah.
And he's a favorite target. What's Conte doing back there? You know, we got to get somebody else. Look, right now he's the starter. Doesn't mean he's going to be the starter in week 8. They've got some competition going. You know, Tandy's still there. But let's be honest about Tandy. Except for that 5-game stretch in 2016, he's just been a guy.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, we thought he had the job last year.
Yes.
You know, Tandy's going to be the guy. It's going to be Tandy, you know, and Justin Evans, and it didn't happen. So that was an interesting remark from Cutter. They like Conte's professionalism. You know, he doesn't cause stirs. He doesn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. Best, ability is availability. He fits that. I think he's okay. In my opinion, if the Bucks want to get to where they want to go, they got to do better than okay in some of these positions. But right now, Conte's the starter.
Sage, Father Dungy, going back to Tony Dungy, said on with Mike Florio, in addition to the comments about McCoy, he made it very clear, very, very clear, that after his visit and the recording of the podcast was done, after his visit to One Buck Place and his time at practice and around the building and his news conference and all the stuff that's tied to that. And, of course, he's plugged in, living in Tampa. And it's funny, Florio likes to ask him when he's on with Florio, hey, tell me what's the chatter at the barbershop in Tampa. I love those Tampa barbershop stories, which is always sometimes Dungy has a good one in there, even if it has
did
nothing.
Did Dungy have a book signing? You know, he's doing book signings everywhere. Maybe he had it at the barbershop.
Possibly, yeah, he did have a book signing. Now, Dungy said, and I'm going to read the quote so nobody gets confused that it's you or me or Lee saying this. Here we go. He's asked about Fitzpatrick playing in week 4. Because of the bye week and the light week of practice when they probably won't be in pads and less meeting time after the Monday Night Football game in week 3. And Dungy, blah, 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 explains that, I know their hope, meaning the Bucs organization, is that Ryan is playing well and they do let him ride out the 4th game and then bring Jameis back after a bye week of practice. So that's Tony Dungy saying the organization wants to see this Fitzpatrick play well, ride him through week 4 and bring back Jameis to practice and ease in and go from week 5 out to the end of the season and be the quarterback forever. Do you believe Dungy? You think someone told him that, or he's just taking a leap here? What do you think?
I think you set this up very well, Steve. Hate to throw him a compliment, Lee. Just hate to throw his bits of compliment.
Oh, okay.
But he set it up very well. And you know why? Because he prefaced it by saying Dungy's been around the facility. Mm-hmm. These quotes don't come out of nowhere. Did he get it from Light? Did he get it from Cutter? Did he get it from an assistant coach? Did he get it from Bajakian? Who knows? But he's not just talking out of his butt. Tony Dungy doesn't do that. So his suggestion that if, you know, hey, the Bucks are 2-1. Now, look, we've said it among the three of us. If they're 3-0, God bless them. They're 3-0, you know, with that schedule. That's a real question. That is
a 3-0 and he's going nuts.
That's a legitimate question. But Dungy's now suggesting that the 2-1, he didn't even say that he's not, forecasting this if they're 1-2 and Fitzpatrick's playing well. He got it from somewhere, Lee, that is the hope in the organization is that they can hold Winston out to week 5, especially. But the way to bye week falls, I mean, it would be week 6 and game 5.
Correct.
Week 6 and game 5. Lee, I don't think that's far-fetched. What is far-fetched is the Bucks being 3-0. You know, at 2-1, I still lean towards putting Winston back in. 0-3, it's not even a question. But it's interesting that, I think Dungy's given us some information about what the thinking is upstairs in this building.
Yeah, I've said before that, you know, people say, oh, it's a short week, it's bad for James. Like, he's got 3 weeks to study the Bears. He should know the Bears backwards and forwards. The timing is a different animal. The timing on the field is a different animal.
But he's not going to be throwing passes to O.J. Howard for 3 weeks.
I was getting to that. I was thinking they were going to have him practice, which he will practice, the Tuesday of that game. And if he looks sharp, I think then he's...
Who's he going to practice with? The team's off. Who's he going to practice with?
He can practice with these guys. He can show up. He practices half hour after practice with O.J. Howard and those guys anyway. But I'll just quote Cam Brate. This subject sort of came up with Cam Brate this summer on NFL Radio, SiriusXM NFL Radio. And Cam Brate responded, Jameis is a starter for a reason.
Look, if I'm a betting man, Steve, I'm betting that Winston starts in Chicago. If I'm a betting man. But, Steve, if...
Oh, you want to wager?
Well, you beat him last time.
We already have a wager with Evan Smith.
We got $20 that Evan Smith starts at right guard.
You sticking with that one?
Absolutely. I'm sticking with that one.
All right.
Now,
I was trying to get him the ring.
I was getting nervous.
You're getting nervous.
I tried to trip Evan Smith on the way out, on his way out the door on Friday night. It didn't work. He gingerly sidestepped me.
I'm not ditching that.
He's got good feet, huh?
A Benenock didn't play. He's got a knee injury. Now this is interesting too.
Get the Kappa man. Don't forget the Kappa man.
I'm not forgetting Kappa. I don't discount.
He played extensively against the Lions.
I don't discount him at all, Ira. So I think you're still in the lead on that bet. You had a natural advantage because you had the field, but I'm liking the way I look. All but let me finish off Dungy's quote, and then we'll move on. We don't need to just don't want people to have it if they didn't see it. He said a lot, but he basically said it. Now, if you're 1-2 or 0-3 and you need that spark, you may have to get Jameis in there. I know their hope is that Ryan is playing well. That was the lead up, and somebody told Dungy this, and I wonder if the G-boys upstairs had a little hand in this, and there may be a discussion as a group with Dirk Cutter, with Jason Light, and said, hey, guys, how do we want to handle the Jameis return? Let's talk about this in mid-August and early August, not later. Let's talk about it
but
now.
But it's a fluid situation.
It's 110% fluid, but maybe they decided that's the goal, and they probably let Jameis know already, too. So there's no confusion here.
They're 1-2, and Fitzpatrick starting in Chicago. We got problems. We got problems.
Unless the problem is not Fitzpatrick, right? Now, that it probably is part of it, but if he's lighting it up and they're losing 35-33, who knows?
Well, then Mike Smith's in trouble at that point. Somebody's got to be in trouble.
Yeah. He might be gone at that point if that's going on. But, all right, Sage, a couple of quick things before we go to the O-line, because I know we brought up Benenock and Lee wanted to ask you something. The corners. The Conte stuff, when you talked about it, I wanted to throw in there that Dirk Cutter went out of his way in that news conference to explain that it was Carlton Davis's fault, the rookie corner. He missed a check, blew everything up, and it looked like the safety blew the coverage on that deep ball by the Lions, but Conte was just really making a heroic hustle play.
You know, Steve, that happens a lot. It happens more than you think. Mm. Is Conte's the last guy who comes in,
and
you got to be careful to say Conte get beat, Conte blew the coverage. You got to be careful. You got to find out what happened on that play. That's something that I learned in my old days at UPI, not in the 60s, Steve, but in the 80s. I learned, look, you got to write the story when the game ends. You got to file it. And, if a guy catches a 57-yard touchdown pass, you better be careful about trying to assign blame from the press box before you go downstairs. And I learned that story the hard way because a couple of times I mentioned, the corner's name or whatever and went downstairs and found out what the coverage was, that the guy was supposed to let him go and get picked up by a safety, and it didn't happen. And the guy goes, this is like 3 days later. He goes, well, why is my name in your story? So you learn that the hard way. Assign and blame with a breakdown in the secondary, you better know what you're talking about. And Conte sometimes gets the blame for that.
I've seen that players on Twitter go after writers. Like, it wasn't my coverage,
pal. Because Conte's the closest guy to the guy waltzing into the end zone. He's the closest guy. So, your natural inclination is blame Conte.
Yeah, and that's I really enjoyed that neat little look back into media. And, and hey, back then, even 15 years ago, Bucs Super Bowl year, those players read the newspaper as gospel. You get burned, the thing goes to print. You can't just go in and correct it like you can now on the internet. So, interesting look.
Let's talk about this corner situation for a minute, Steve. It's still out there that Hargraves can win that job opposite Grimes. I still have to be convinced that he is a starting outside corner in this league. It looks like he's more comfortable in the slot. Now, look, Rondé Barber started outside and then also played the slot, on third down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was that versatile, Rondé. But There aren't a lot of Rondé Barbers. That's why I'm trying to get him into Canton. I think he's got a good chance. Let's not put Vernon Hargraves into Canton unless we put him on a plane. I still think that outside spot's open. I do. Now, he might get the start in week one in New Orleans opposite Grimes, but I think Carlton Davis is coming on strong. Stewart's banged up a little bit right now. Don't count Carlton Davis out of this competition.
I think it's Hargraves on opening day. I don't think he's going to play Thursday. Do you guys think Hargraves plays on Thursday?
I wouldn't play him. I would not.
The way Cutter's talking about him, it sounds like he's odds-on favorite to start again.
Yeah, I think he's got the gig for opening day, and you know, he'll get a very quick hook.
And he'll be targeted by Michael Thomas.
Yeah, because who's crazy enough? Drew Brees isn't gonna target Brent Grimes. Yeah,
they'll go right after him, and they'll go after the rest of the secondary. The hope is they don't have much time.
That's right. That's right.
Whoever's playing there, Hargraves, Carlton Davis, Stewart, they're going to be targeted.
What a challenge this is. Because if you look at the numbers, boy, Brees is tough to sack. He's tough to sack. He doesn't have a lot of games where he goes down three or four times. He just doesn't happen.
And when it does, he usually loses.
And, you know, look, let's be honest, guys. For 12 years, defensive coordinators are saying, this guy's 6 foot. He's 6 foot one. Let's go up the middle. He can't see over these hands. And it doesn't work, Lee.
No.
Number one, the Saints know that, too. So they give him extra protection inside.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want that pocket collapse.
Steve always talks about how Sean Payton, I can't remember where, but said he believed up the middle is more important than tackle.
He always has good guards and good centers. And the Saints have it again. You know, now they used to have, Jari Evans.
And Nix.
And now they got a heck of a center. And they revamped the offensive line. It's one of the better units in the league. What a great challenge for this Buck defensive line, and I believe the game's hanging in the balance by how well the Buck defensive line plays.
Well allegedly, the trick with Drew Brees is, you hear it all the time, they don't talk about sacks. Defensive coordinators don't talk about sacks. They talk about getting him off his mark.
And he's got great pocket presence, too, Lee. He senses the pressure.
He does.
And he makes that little move, that just one little sidestep. Boy, is he savvy. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's a first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you saw any of the preseason game, but it's, preseason is preseason. Saints won the first half in Los Angeles against a good Chargers defense, 14-6. Brees, 7 of 9. Didn't threw a pick, though. Threw a pick to Derwin James.
They got Bosa and Ingram coming off the edges. That's a strong Charger defense.
But the Saints ran the ball, and their defense looked good, and the good football team. Hey,
good football team.
All these teams that are Bucks are playing, except for the Eagles, which seem to be imploding on a couple levels, which is good for the Bucks. But the Steelers and Saints look pretty good in the preseason, but it's preseason. So,
hey, the last time we saw the Saints play a game, and I don't mean the regular season finale against the Bucks. I mean the playoff game. Yeah. They went into Minnesota. Minnesota's a heck of a team, even though Philly thrashed them the week after. And the Saints had that game won.
They had the game won.
And how did they have it won? Another fourth quarter comeback by Drew Brees against one of the top three defenses in this league, Minnesota.
Yes.
Offensive line, Ira, Caleb Benenock on the CBS broadcast, he revealed he has a knee injury. Now, Gert Cutter has been very cryptic and not giving out much info, but knees are knees, and they're tricky, and that's not a good deal.
If he didn't have the knee injury, he might have started at left tackle for Donovan Smith. Might have.
He might have, but he didn't play. So he was out. And here we are, 12 games in 12 days. Your Evan Smith bet is in the balance. Kappa, what's your feel on Kappa?
I watch Kappa a lot, Lee, with the binoculars. When I wasn't watching some people that were standing on the sidelines.
The cheerleaders?
Never mind that, Lee. Never mind. Why do you have to be so specific? Can't I throw that out there just as a general thought to
I'm a journalist.
Listeners?
We strive for accuracy.
I was watching Kappa. At times, he looked very much like a rookie out of a Division II school in space. When he had to make a quick move, that's not his strength. His strength is his strength. How do you like them apples? Remember Giuliani says truth isn't truth? Yeah. How about that one?
His strength is his strength.
When he gets his paws on you, and they're big paws, he can control you. He's strong. He gives you all he's got. He's physical. He's fiery. I talked to him after the game. He admits he's got a long way to go. What rookie lineman doesn't?
Exactly.
But the Bucks love everything about this guy. By the way, speaking of Humboldt, I told this to DeMar Dotson because I was asking Dotson about Kappa too. And I he goes, ah, the guy's from Humboldt State. You know, he's doing a heck of a job. I go, this is their last year of football.
That's right.
They're retiring football. And Dotson goes, what? I go, no more football at Humboldt State. So Kappa got in under the wire. The Bucks think the kid's going to be very good, and so does Dotson. But it's going to take a while.
And you're suspicious about him playing tackle.
I'm suspicious about him playing guard. I'm suspicious about him guard. Because I think his natural position is right tackle. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately he's going to be Dotson's replacement down the line. We'll see when that happens.
Yeah, first, you know, I obviously read your 10 thoughts on the game. And you mentioned, you know, Cap, if he gets his hands on you, he does okay. And people should read your column, your 10. That's really great. It's like one or two sentences each item, get in, get out. It's easy reading for people who, especially on a night game when they're on the prowl, they have other goals to meet that night. That's great to read.
I filed that at the end of the game. I startled Isbitz with that. He figured, all right, he's got to go to the locker room. I'm not getting this thing for 45.
And you did.
All of a sudden, boom, columns in, Isbitz. I took him by surprise. I think he was... I think he might have spit up.
Nobody loves Ira more than Ira.
Might have spit up a sangria that he was having in his kitchen, by the way.
Well, you know what? Ira was very much, how do I say this? You budgeted your time adroitly.
Adroitly?
Yeah, adroitly.
That's a nice one there.
Not only did he get his column in after the game, before he went to the locker room, you still had enough time to slap Bernie Miklutz around about his Beach Boys comment.
How come he didn't answer me? Where's my answer from Bernie? Yeah. I slapped him around. He used to be my buddy on the Hall of Fame committee. Now he's part of ESPN family, and he's got no time for me, Steven.
All right, important announcement here, Sage. Important announcement. On the next podcast, which we are going to record on Wednesday, so you better be ready. Your next podcast, we are all going to give predictions for this season. And I want you guys to come
with... Wait a minute. My prediction could very much hinge on how they play in that crucial Thursday night game.
No.
If that's the case...
Get away from me,
we
Calvin.
Can do an amend... No, we have enough time to do an amended emergency podcast.
You want a prediction from a man who said the Bucks were going to win 10 games last year? Lee, that was me.
Ira, 10 games. You need to give me a season prediction and 3 internal predictions... Something about the roster that's a firm prediction.
My first prediction is Evan Smith doesn't win the job at right guard. We go on from there.
There you go. Along those lines.
Along those lines.
So Lee, myself, whatever. So season prediction and 3 strong predictions related to the Bucks. Maybe that means Mike Bajakian's fired midseason. Whatever it is, it's got to be a strong, meaty prediction. And preferably not that because nobody cares.
And you're going to do yours and Lee's going to do
it? Yeah, yeah. We'll throw it out next podcast.
All right.
We'll come to the table early with that. And get that out there. Of course, we want to thank Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their websites, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com, edmorsecadillactampa.com.
Hey, we're going in the locker room this week, Steve. It's a new week.
Yeah,
new
we're
phase.
Actually getting ready to go in there. And so, Ira, any other thoughts out of that preseason game?
The Bucks won all 3 phases when the game counted. I even mentioned that to Cutter in the locker room. He was ready to go on with TJ Reeves after he got off the podium. I actually got a hello from Cutter. Hey,
really?
Ira. That made my night over there. You know, it's better than getting a middle finger from the head coach.
You were talking
over there
to a lot of brass then. I didn't mention his name.
Yeah,
I'm not going to.
I covered my bases that night. I did a lot of brass.
There were some other heavy hitters I saw you with. So.
There's no question about it. Look, Buck fans, they're going to think Thursday night game doesn't mean anything. For the most part, they're correct. But you know what? For those 5 or 6 guys that are fighting for that final spot, it means the world. So in that regard, keep your eye on those guys.
I think it's fair to say Leonard Wester will be one of those 5 guys that are fighting because I've not heard very many good things about Wester. And I like the guy personally. I really like him. But heard some grumblings, internal grumblings about him. And I think, didn't Cutter cite him over the weekend where he's like, hey, he has to get some work.
Hey, Steve, one quick thing for our listeners.
Sure.
Before the game, as is my habit, you know, I like to say, you know, see who's doing the color for the broadcast or whatever. This one was on CBS, I believe.
Yes.
And Bruce Arians was in the house. And he was sitting down with Trent Green, who also worked the broadcast, and another guy. And they were, you know, wolfing down some pork chops or whatever. And I come up, and Arians recognizes me, I think, from, you know, the March NFL meetings over the years. And I used to sit at his table. Anyway, I go, I need a favor from you, Bruce. He dropped his fork. He figured I wanted part of his pork chop. Looking at my waistline, and he goes, "What do you need?" And I said, "You know, I'm the Hall of Fame representative for Tampa. Can I get a minute to talk about Lynch and Barber?" And he was very good. It might be a future column, but it certainly I got it squirreled away for future use. And that's a fresh voice. And, you know, he was an offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, or wide receivers coach. He had the game plan against these guys, and he gave me some good stuff on both of them.
Yeah, he's a powerful guy. I would imagine in that room, a voice where people will, you know, pick their heads out of their salsa and their chips and say, oh, I was talking about
And
Bruce
he's
Harris.
Got no vested interest in talking up John Lynch if he doesn't believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. It's genuine.
Nice. A guy known as a straight shooter as well.
When I mentioned Rondé Barber, I got to do a little research on this. Maybe you guys know this. He goes, he did this, he's versatile. This, and I bounced him on my knee when he was 2 years old. I don't know anything about that. I'll have to look that up.
I can't remember if he coached at Virginia. I know he coached at Virginia Tech. He played at Virginia Tech, if I remember right.
A couple of things for Thursday night, and of course, we still have another podcast to go. But you know what? This Jarrell Worthy guy could be very interesting. The defensive tackle, former second-round pick of the Packers, bounced around, played a little, you know, played his share, did some good things, has been a bust, but he's still young, and it could be a Brenton Buckner special. Dirk Cutter called him out the other day, said he really liked what he did. 37
You can't
snaps.
Underestimate good coaching, Lee. Yeah, exactly. You've talked about it on this podcast many times.
You know, a guy with that much talent as a second-round pick who didn't suffer any kind of big, huge injury.
Might need a fresh start.
I'm excited, and you know what? I'll throw it out on this. I'll hate to bring up bad memories of Buck's past, but there was a guy here for a while, sackless Kyle Moore. Okay, sackless. They started him out of the gate. They made him gain like 30 pounds. He was falling asleep in meetings. They made him start
you don't forget it, things,
at left end. Kyle Moore, when he was ending his career with the Bucks, he came out for the final preseason game, and I think he had 3 sacks. And it helped extend his career. But you know what? Noah Spence, you can dominate against these Scribinos out there as well. I want to see that because he's going to be out there. I bet you Noah Spence gets 50 snaps.
You know, by the way, speaking of coaches, I'll end it with this one. Every time I read a recap of what's going on in Seattle this, they lost this guy, they lost Sherman, they lost Bennett, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they got Bradley McDougald, who they are very high on.
They love him.
Steve, I'm going to end the podcast with that one. Bradley McDougald.